This is Phil Farron. I am driving home. I'm actually leaving a couple of minutes early today because we had a little excitement at work. On Monday, we threw what's called a deadlock error, which is a random thing that SQL Server does, where it tries to do something and there's something interfering, and instead of just waiting a second and trying again, it just goes, I'm done, poof, and it just blows out. You're like, no, don't just blow out, but that's what it does. It just, thankfully, we've got things kind of straightened around to where it doesn't happen a lot, but it can happen, and that happened Monday night, and it just happened to happen in the middle of us doing recurring, which meant we had just finished putting together 22,000 pages of receipts. Thankfully, we didn't throw an error in the middle of that process, thank God. We would have had to restart that whole thing, because I never wrote a reentrant routine for that, which maybe I should have, but I never did. And it's been running now for 14 years, so probably not going to write that at this point. So thankfully we'd already gotten through that, and we had just dropped into the quality assurance check section and just barely got started with that when it blew out. So we just had to go and confirm where we were and confirm how to get rolled back to get started. And, once we did that, we just restarted step five and we were off to the races. And so that was fine, but that was an extra hour and a half, right in the middle of my writing schedule. So needless to say, I did not get my words done Monday night. Didn't get my words done on Sunday, which is the big day, 3,000 words, because we had some friends that we hadn't seen in 20 years, and they were in town, and the only time they could get together was like at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, so... That meant I needed to knock off writing 3:30-ish or so, and then we were only supposed to chat for an hour, but you know how things go. So I think by the time it was all said and done, I lost about 3 hours, which you really can't do that if you're trying to get 3,000 words down. You can't lose 3 hours. But that's fine. We had a nice chat. It was good to see them again and get caught up and find out what's going on. So that was fun. But with the with that and the hour and a half cut on Monday, when I went into Tuesday, I was already almost 4,000 words down. So that's pretty hard to recover from. So I am leaving a little early. I do have Bugs Bunny under control, so maybe not only do I have Bugs Bunny under control, but I'll also write a little later today and maybe get some more words down on the page. We'll see. And I think we've canceled small groups for tonight because it's raining. We're having a flash flood watch, in fact. So it's been raining pretty consistently and fairly, water over road. Oh, here we go. I wonder if I don't want to do this. So there's a spot where it goes down under the bridge here, and it looks like everyone is turning around. So I'm just trying to see how deep it actually is. I'm watching another car go through. So, yeah, you know, maybe I will turn left here. Because it's... Oh, yeah, we're not going through that. It was up to the top of the wheels of on a sports utility vehicle. And I ain't that tall, so there's no point me going through there. We're going to have a little detour here. Probably run out to Glenstone and run across, which means I need to get turned around here somewhere. And maybe here is as good a spot as any. So, and now there's cars coming. And here we go. And I'm sure you can hear my steering groaning because I need to put a little more steering fluid in. And I'll get that done before tomorrow. Anyways, so yeah, got Bugs Bunny done. Got the thing, got the bit done. Get to that in a minute, but Bugs Bunny is going to be a little exciting tomorrow because it's raining, and it's a paper costume. Not exactly ideal. So I'm back to that intersection. I was running north on National, and there's a train track overpass. And it's down in that valley on the train track overpass down in there. The water's pooled up in there because we're supposed to have 5 inches, something like that. There's a flash flood warning out. So, anyways, but yeah, so I got the Bugs Bunny thing under control. And in fact, I've gone and gotten big contractor black bags, like the 49-gallon ones, and I have each part of it put in those bags and stacked up in the garage so that I'm ready to go, because I'm just gonna have to put them in my car and then carry all of the bags into Walmart and then get dressed inside Walmart, get dressed inside Cracker Barrel. I am wearing a bodysuit with this. It's a gray bodysuit. I needed to have black arms, and so I bought myself a pair of black leggings and just, you know, cut the crotch open so it looks like kind of a midriff shirt, but people don't see that. At least they weren't supposed to see that. They will now. Sadness. I haven't been down Division here in a while. Sadness. So the road is closed. Okay, well, let's go this way. Can we go this way? No, we can't go this way. No, we can't go this way. Okay. So hold up. We're gonna have to turn around. We're gonna have to double back. Wait, maybe we can go this way. Yeah. So anyways, they're doing some road construction apparently on, it was Commercial Street. So I'll just ride this up to Glenstone and then we'll take Glenstone home. But anyways, so yeah, so that'll be a little exciting, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I may not quite go to all the people I usually go visit, simply because it will be pouring rain tomorrow. But if the rain doesn't do too bad, I've been watching it, and it does appear that it's lightening up a little bit. So maybe it won't be too bad. Now then, there is another overpass here, but it looks like the water hasn't piled up too bad here. So I think we're going to be okay here. So, we'll go ahead and turn on Glenstone here and get heading back north. But anyway, so this should be fun. It turned out cute, and I got the bit taken care of. You know, it's really, the whole thing is just really, really interesting. Because I'm trying to make a conscious effort. Uh-oh, ambulance coming. So we're gonna slow down and stop here. I'm trying to make, oh, good job. Someone just turned left onto the street and then they just stopped right in front of the ambulance. So we'll let them go by and then wait for an opening here. So anyways, I have been making a conscious effort that when Jesus whispers to me about one of these costumes, about something, that I just tell my friends. I say, oh yeah, I'm working on this costume now, and this is what he just whispered to me. Part of it is to engage them in this process and to chat about it and have fun with it. Part of it as well is to document the fact that I really don't know, when I'm getting started on these things, what the final disposition is. And it's a way to kind of document this process. And so as I had mentioned before, this one started out just as Bugs Bunny Day, and I had different ideas about what the possibilities were, and we had kind of gone through some of those things, and then of course he whispered Bugs Bunny Origami, and that was after I had already found a paper mask that I had made, and my wife liked it, and I liked it. It was cool. And then once I made the decision to go ahead and do the tuxedo out of paper, out of cardstock, then at that point, that's when I got Bugs Bunny Origami, and then I started collecting jokes, and you know, I had this person tell me a joke, and that person tell me a joke, and this person give me this, and that person got me that. But I think I may have mentioned last week, maybe, that I finally figured out what the bit was. I had the bit, but I didn't know what the punchline was. And so I knew kind of what the characteristics of it were, but I didn't have the actual punchline. And so it's interesting because, you know, I was telling people I don't have the punchline and it's a week away. And there was no point in there that I was like concerned about it, because I was like, I'll have it. Now, you always get into situations where your flesh is going to tell you, well, it's not going to work out this time. It's not because you didn't really hear from Jesus, and he's going to fail you, and he's, you know, you've got all that backwash that you're getting constantly. But I was just puttering along going, nope, it'll be fine. It'll come along. One of the things that I did do, I had this idea to do it, and it was fun because when I was talking to Liz about it, she was like, well, what you could do, and I was like, yep, I've got that on the agenda. I went and I found a website that has idioms and sayings and truisms on it. It's called the Idiom website. And it has, the pages were small. It only had like 4 or 5 to a page, but it had like 165 pages of idioms. You know, strange things that we say, like heaping coals, hot coals on their head or something like that. That there's these analogies that we use in speech that come from various sources. And so I just started going through those, seeing if anything applied. And there were a couple that I wrote down, and there was one in particular that I thought, oh, I like that, man. If I can make that work, that'd be fun. And then I just kind of left it. Well, Tuesday morning, I had gotten up, and as I got up Tuesday morning, I got a piece of it, and I thought, oh yeah, that'll work. And then that led me a little farther into it, and then when I was out running on Tuesday, I got the rest of it. So I went through most of it, I think, last week, but the bit is as follows. it starts off with something that's true, which is the fact that there was, in 2020, a commemorative set of stamps that were released because that was Bugs Bunny's 80th birthday. Bugs Bunny premiered in 1940. And so that was Bugs Bunny's 80th anniversary in 2020. And so that's what's true. It's also true that there was a Broadway show. I looked it up. There was a Broadway show in 1990. Started out off Broadway in California, and it was a collection of the Bugs Bunny songs, or songs that were done on Looney Tunes and that sort of thing, and they're full orchestrations. And it was very popular, and so there was a limited run on Broadway that they sold out all the shows for. It went for a couple of weeks. And that was in 1990. And so the bit is that supposedly there were these producers that they were saying, look, there's commemorative stamps for Bugs Bunny. There was a Broadway show that was sold out. Look at what The Lion King is doing. Look at all of these other things like Mario Brothers, Paper Edition. There's all this stuff that's sitting out there. Why aren't we having... Why aren't we... I just had a thought then, but I... Never mind. So, there is something that I could do before I go home, but I'm already recording this now, so I'm just going home. Why don't we stage a revival on Broadway of Bugs Bunny? Because Bugs Bunny is obviously still very popular. So they talk and they talk, and they went to the money people and they started doing their presentation. And their presentation was basically, there were these stamps. Bugs Bunny, you know, has never had an incarnation in real life. So why don't we just go ahead and let's take all these stamps, and each stamp represents an episode. Why don't we stage a Broadway production, and while we're at it, we'll do cutesy-cutesy stuff, and we'll make all the costumes out of origami. That'll kind of be a thing, kind of like the Lion King did their special costume. So let's just do this, and let's set, you know, let's stand this thing up on Broadway. Because one of the sayings they had coming out of it was, we need to get Bugs Bunny out of the flat. You know, we just need to pull him out of the flat. Because he's been on TV, he's been on movies, he's been in comic books, he's been in newspapers. Let's get him out of the flat and get him into real life, just like kind of the Barbie movie. So they're like, okay, great. So raised a bunch of money, and they stood up this Broadway show, and they did a bunch of fun stuff with it. So, for instance, at the end of the show, they had Porky Pig come out and go to them, and that's all, folds. And so that was cute, and like they renamed the episodes, and so the episode that I did the costume for was called Rhapsody Rabbit. I may have mentioned this last week, and they changed it to Rhapsody, W-R-A-P. So that's cute. But the thing just bombed. I mean, it just bombed. So they stood it up on Broadway, and it folded after a week. This Bugs Bunny origami show, which is not good when you spend that much money. It folded after a week. Wink, wink. And then the producer tries to get it on pay-per-view, and that didn't work out either. And when they polled all of the customers, or the audience members, everyone said the same thing. They said, those paper costumes are just terrible. And that just goes to show you that no matter how good it may look on paper, it's very difficult to stand up a show, especially on Broadway. Fact is, it's really hard to pull a rabbit out of the flat. Ding, ding. So... Tuesday morning, when I got up, I had a little whisper that said, looks good on paper. I'm like, oh, right, looks good on paper. And then when I went out for the run, I was still thinking about that saying that when I saw it, I thought, oh, that would be good. How could I work that in? And the saying, of course, is pull a rabbit out of the hat. Then I was like, okay, but how do I work that in? How do I work that in? And Jesus just said, rhyme. I was like, rhyme. Oh, let's call it rabbit out of the flat. And then I thought, okay, you can back time it. So yeah, click. So there you go. And that punchline, hard to do it on paper, difficult to pull a rabbit out of the flat, will not work on anything except something to do with paper or something to do with, you know, stamps or origami or something like that. But I had the Bugs Bunny origami weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and that's what led me down through this path. So it's fun. You know, I was talking to a buddy on Tuesday. We went out to get something to eat, and they're having a few little struggles, and, you know, things are discouraging in life right now. There's weird stuff going on right now. But I had been talking to him about it, about this. I had been, you know, we go out once a month, and so I'd been giving him updates every month. Still don't have this, don't know what we're doing here, this, you know. And seeing that progression, I think it helps. I know it helps me. It helps me to remember that we are moving through this life, and that he's already with us, and that he's already in the future. And that if we'll keep our ears open, keep our minds open, and we'll just move with him, you know, he will be able to guide us to where he wants us to be and what he wants us to be doing. Is it costumes? No, it can be a lot of things. In case you can't hear, yes, we really are having rain. It can be a lot of things. It can be anything. But he is faithful and willing to speak with us and to guide us and to help us. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon. With the costumes, Bugs Bunny is tomorrow. We're doing it in the rain. Saturday, the rain is supposed to clear up, so that's good. But as of right now, we will have rain tomorrow morning, and this will be interesting. But it'll be fine. People appreciate the effort. You know, they appreciate the effort. And so it'll be good. Okay, so writing. I mentioned I am down on words this week, but you know what? It's going to be fine. I think I can get to 40,000 words this week. I'm over 35,000, and I've got 2 days left. And so I think I can get that done, and I've got tonight now as well. So if I get another 500, 750, 1,000 words tonight, you know, I'll be close enough. And that'll wrap up April, and then I've got May, which there's five full weeks. I've got a burp. 5 full weeks of writing in May, so if all goes well, I'll be able to get to 90,000 words in May, and then it's easy on the backside because I've just got 60,000 words left. And I'll have book 21 put together. So the book 20 books are out to everybody, and people are reading, and you know, we'll see what they think when those books come back. So all is well. I mentioned last week that because of some podcast that I had heard, that I had just given up on trying to believe that all the things that are happening in our world could solely be attributed to ignorance or incompetence or just greed. That it was really, really hard not to conclude that there was true malevolence involved. And, you know, those revelations have not ceased. It's just amazing. The more that comes out about various topics, the more you just look at it going, good night. What in the world? So, just yesterday or the day before, I think it was just yesterday, John Campbell, who I've listened to for years now, who really, really came into his own with COVID. He's a doctor in England and has been making commentary on the various things that have been going on with COVID through the years. And, you know, he had to kind of tiptoe around a little bit, and he had to be careful about some of the things he said because he got censured a couple of times, and YouTube took down his videos and, you know, shut off his revenue streams, etc., etc. But he managed to navigate through all of that and still, you know, get his point across, which was always fun to listen to him do that. He used to just talk about this, that, and the other, and then he would do things like, he'd say, now, me personally, I did get some ivermectin because you never know when I might get bitten by a West Nile virus mosquito, and I might need to take some ivermectin to help me with that West Nile virus. So I always keep it up in the cupboard. In fact, I, you know, do a little prophylactic use on it. You know, I mean, he's talking, it's clearly what he's saying is, look, the studies say that ivermectin work, get it and start taking prophylactic doses of it and get yourself prepped. And honestly, I did, and I had extra on hand for when my wife came down with COVID and for when my mother-in-law came down with COVID, and I do think it helped. Okay, this is going to be exciting because it's raining, and I need to get the mail. So we're going to get rained on a little bit. There's one piece of mail. That's it. Let's look in the bottom here. Nope, nothing in there. Goodness. It is raining. Hopefully it's not going to be raining this hard tomorrow. Anyway, so he had one of his latest shows, which he has been on the money. He has been on the money this entire time. And he has been one of the few who have been right on the front line of talking about all of the side effects stuff and talking about things like excess deaths and trying to highlight the fact that there is something wrong going on in industrialized nations. I mean, he's been really, really good about all of that. And has been trying to highlight that somebody needs to investigate stuff. So one of the things that he has looked into recently was he highlighted an article, and I hadn't even heard of this, but apparently there's been some buzz and chatter about this for months now, and there has been a peer-reviewed article that has been released in a respected journal. And it has to do with, I think the drug is called melazepam. And it has to do with England. And like I said, there has been some buzz about it. But now there has been this article, and the article is called Excess Deaths in the United Kingdom. Midazolam, and euthanasia in the COVID-19 pandemic. And there's a link in the article. If you want more information about this, you can go to YouTube, and the name of this particular episode for John Campbell is MIDAZ. It's just M-I-D-A-Z. You can search for that, and Dr. John Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. So the thing about it is when COVID started up, there was a surge in the use of midazolam, which I guess is a drug that is used to calm people. So, and it was specifically in nursing homes. There was a surge in the use of that drug and in the use of midazolam with morphine. As to the exact reasons that was being used, I didn't find it in what John Campbell was commenting on, but he was commenting on this article, and it's like a very, very sad and questionable period of time. So he says, it looks like a lot of people died as a direct result of being given midazolam. And he said, now, if this is the case, that means that COVID killed far fewer people than we thought, and midazolam killed way more people than we thought. He said, this really couldn't be more serious. Let's hope there isn't a massive scandal of international proportions about to break on the scene. So the research paper, they took the macro data during the COVID-19 pandemic in the United Kingdom, and they showed significant data anomalies and inconsistencies with the existing explanations. And he said, this paper contends that the existing explanations of death, i.e. that a lot of people died from COVID, is simply wrong. People did die from COVID, but far fewer than the official statistics are indicating. That's the argument of this paper. So we had graphs, and one of the things that was on the graph was that in April of 2020 in the UK, there is a significant spike of deaths. A really, really significant spike of deaths. When you see the graphs, it's going along, and then in April of 2020, the deaths just shoot up. And in fact, the deaths shoot up enough that in April of 2020, if all of those deaths correlate to COVID, it would have meant that the COVID death rate was some crazy number, like 24%. But it was only in April 2020. And then things dropped back down. Now, what's interesting is that if you look at the same time, what you see is that prescriptions for this midazolam skyrocket as well. And the number of injections being given, apparently, skyrocket during this time, specifically in nursing homes. And there's such an amazing correlation between that activity and the supposed COVID deaths that the sigma, the correlation between those things, is incredibly high. So they were saying that if you have in biology like a sigma of, he was saying, I'm looking for it, I don't see it. He was saying if you have a sigma of 5, he said the monthly sigma So we see that anything above the 2 line is significant. So that anything above the 5 sigma line is about the chances of this happening 1 in 35 million. In April, when you look at the sigma correlation, it's like 20. It's like way out of whack. So something was going on. And he said, we know that COVID is nothing as deadly as that statistic seems to be showing. That people seem to be dying, or correlates, blah, 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 blah. And after that, we see new monthly cases, but the monthly new COVID deaths are remarkably low. And so you see it dropping all the way back down. So what was going on? Why did the UK have this huge spike in deaths? And according to this paper, it says that the great increase in the amount of midazolam given is followed very closely by deaths. Within a month, it's followed by deaths. And he said, we can see very clearly that whenever the use of this drug goes up, that deaths follow shortly after. Now, here's the thing. The problem is that this drug sort of depresses things. And according to John Campbell, he said the basic understanding is that if you give morphine and midazolam together, you will basically stop breathing. He said, we know this. He said, it's not esoteric pharmacology. So what exactly was going on? You know, why did they just all of a sudden start giving this to patients in old folks' homes, older people? And did they give it in conjunction with morphine? And if so, it's literally thousands of people in nursing homes that were basically euthanized in the UK under the cover of COVID deaths. I mean, when you see the graphs, it's like, okay, that's a problem. That's just a problem. Because there's no way that that was not artificially induced. It's just no way. When you see the huge spike that there is in April 2020, it just exceeds anything else for the entire pandemic. So did somebody have an idea of how this would help just settle down the old people who were scared, and that'll just help them stay in their rooms so they're not wandering around and spreading it to others? So let's just go ahead and give them this to slow them down. Is that what it was? You know, or did they just ignore the potential side effects, and once they got started giving it, they just kept giving it? I don't know. But the data in the paper seems really clear that something was going on in April 2020 in the UK. And it seemed to be targeted somehow towards older people in nursing homes. And whatever was happening was leading to a lot of excess deaths, such that if all that was true and it was strictly caused because of COVID, it would drive the COVID mortality rate up to almost 25%, which doesn't seem right because COVID was not that deadly. So, you know, are we just going to chalk this up to incompetence? Or is this just another indication of the times we're living in? I had a buddy that was reading to me a passage of scripture that I hadn't necessarily forgotten about, but I certainly hadn't revisited recently. And as he was reading this, I was like, yep. So this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, for they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those men. This is Phil Farrand, and I have made it home.